With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Life is life, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller. Luke Moore is here.
It's Chico time.
Jim Campbell is here.
It's Jim time.
Pete Donaldson's here.
I declare my brilliance. Would you like me to chat you through why I went for that?
Oscar Wilde.
Well, no, because you guys... What did you guys go for?
I said it's Chico time.
It's Chico time. Then
I
you
said
went
it's
for,
gym time.
It's gym time. And then I was thinking of like NAF, kind of Eurovision-style X-Factor characters. And in my head, I was trying to think of... Remember Conchita Wurst?
Yeah.
It's been in the news recently. I couldn't remember her name. All I could remember is the word fatwa. So I started saying, I declare a fatwa. But then I was like, I'm not going to say that.
No.
I declare... my brilliance.
So you got her mixed up with Oscar Wilde.
Sometimes
and aggressive.
You don't have
death
to.
Wishes.
You don't have to say everything that's in your head.
Yeah, I do. I do. Yeah. Unless it just festers and then it gets worse. If anything,
don't it's like bottle
if you,
it up.
If you leave a bin around, it's always going to end up in really stinky bin juice.
Yeah, and if you're really unlucky, maggots.
Yeah.
Or you send it to, or you send it to your ex-girlfriend.
All that. Yeah. Yeah.
You can't declare your brilliance without us having a referendum on whether Pete's brilliant or not.
Motion not passed.
I declare a brilliant fatwa on you.
Stop saying it.
Stop declaring fatwas on everyone.
All right, fine.
You started by doing the opposite and you've done it now. You might as well have just said it.
Why is your mic shield right jammed into the pop shield?
Oh, fatwa.
What's going on?
Get the fatwas out.
Tech
the
errors earlier on the round.
Honestly, outrageous. Tech errors.
What state are the Huddersfield Town players currently in? Because they
still
are
out.
In
better
still
than
out.
Us.
Hashtag still out.
Yeah. They've done it.
They have done it.
The big Vag.
They've ruined the last day of the season. They've done it.
Wagner from X Factor has done it.
Indeed he has. He declared a 48-hour boozy sesh.
Did he?
Well, he said the players have got 2 days off. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more.
Yeah.
And they'll be rather drunk, you would imagine, at the moment. Or certainly having a nice time, safe in the knowledge that they can approach the Arsenal game with glee.
They'll probably win it.
They probably will.
Yeah, exactly.
The form table would certainly suggest so.
But they're staying up. Remarkable job, Wagner's done. We worried about Huddersfield. They started dropping like a stone. They weren't winning many games. They haven't scored that many goals. But they've stayed up. You wouldn't when the three teams get promoted in the Premier League to the Premier League every year. Of course, there's usually one, maybe two, but there's usually one where people go, "Ooh, that's going to be really tough for
them." It's a big ask.
It's tough for all of them.
It's the first time that the three have stayed up since 2012, I think.
There you go.
It's only the third time it's happened in Premier League history. Mm. The time before that was 2002. What I really liked about Wagner in the run-in, and we may have mentioned it on the show, but I know you guys, I've mentioned it to you guys. Is that he was asked by a journalist at a press conference, "Oh, are you worried about relegation?" And he was like, "Not really.
Yeah.
No, fine." Yeah. She kept it really positive the whole time. Didn't whack out those cliches. Didn't go, "Oh, we're treating every game like a cup final." No, I'm not worried about it. What's your next question?
Yeah, we criticise him for that, to be fair.
We probably
he did seem rather...
Probably he sounds out of his mind.
Yeah. There was a little while ago as well. This might just be the fact that he's speaking in his second language, but he said something along the lines of, we probably need about another, you know, 4 or 5 points if we'd like to stay up. If we'd like to.
We'll decide. Yeah.
I was thinking about it.
I hope that wasn't a mistake in a second language.
Yeah.
But isn't it fascinating? Isn't it great? I know David Wagner represented the US as a footballer, but he's obviously very German.
Mm.
And isn't it great?
It's weird to think that, isn't
it? Yeah. But isn't it great when, with the greatest respect to the beautiful town of Huddersfield, isn't it great when someone not from the UK is just really taken in by the local population? And he's going to be a legend in Huddersfield now for the rest of his life.
Yeah. It's the only place in England where that's currently happening, AP. Yeah.
No, but football brings those two people together. If it wasn't for football, that I imagine, with the greatest respect to everyone concerned, David Wagner would not be spending that much time in Huddersfield.
Yeah. Rafa Benitez wouldn't be in Newcastle.
It's like Mendieta.
It's a lovely spot.
It is a nice spot.
Mendieta loves Middlesbrough.
I think he still lives there.
Yeah, exactly.
He does.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, is it Julio Arca?
Yeah.
South Shields. Yeah, won the cup last year. And but Mendieta went to Spain. He moved back to Spain and thought, nah, it's not the northeast of England. Yeah. And Darren Rock, but he's great though. You're absolutely right, Luke.
Wagner love.
And also,
he's nowhere to be seen.
We also had one.
But he is enjoying a boozy session, no doubt, somewhere.
With a anti tank missile.
Oh, yeah.
Just in case. Just in case.
That's too long ago. If you're going to drop that into conversation, you need to refresh it.
He once went to a house party with an anti tank missile.
Yeah.
I don't know if he went with one. I think one happened to be there.
You never know when a tank's going to turn up.
Exactly.
I don't think.
What's your opinion on tanks? I'm very anti-tank, yeah. As displayed by this anti-tank missile.
You could have just brought a banner.
Just heavy. I don't like carrying a bottle of wine to a party. No. Imagine carrying that around.
No, you don't. turns off, it's empty.
But you're not anti-wine.
I just get one of those hats with two beer cans on the top.
Yeah, and straws. But on the games themselves, obviously Huddersfield have played. Am I right in saying they've played two games since we... No, they've played one.
Manchester City away.
Yes.
And Chelsea away.
I don't know if we covered that. Anyway, I forget. Two great points. And the game last night, at time of recording, produced one of the best saves of the season.
The result's not going to change.
But what I'm saying, I don't know if we talked about it or not.
We certainly didn't talk about the Chelsea game.
But I said last night at time of recording, because today it was last night.
Yeah.
If you listen tomorrow, it won't be last night, Marcus.
It won't be.
Time is normally the same.
Anyway, is this not live?
I think people will get it.
Anyway. One of the saves of the season. Yeah. It's the salient point here.
But that goalmouth scramble summed it all up. Bodies in the way. And we have to remember, Chelsea wanted
bodies,
to win.
Yeah. Bodies.
Bodies. Against Man City, Jim, of course, Manchester City have already won the league. And so they want to win. And of course, they put pressure on Huddersfield. But Huddersfield fought to the end and got their point.
Yeah.
And some people might say, well, were Manchester City at full throttle? I wouldn't really question that too much. But I understand the potential accusation. You can't say that about Chelsea.
No, absolutely not. I think though, look, you said about the City game that it was, you know, you'd never seen a game played just outside the team's area. So
the
much. Exactly the same. Chelsea laid siege, and they were really, really desperate for the 3 points. And it was a phenomenal effort from Huddersfield to set up to do that kind of job.
Absolutely.
At Stamford Bridge against a team that need it and want it. It was impressive.
And the goal Chelsea scored was a complete fluke anyway.
Yeah. It was like James Milner's own goal, wasn't it?
Yeah,
but
exactly.
It was right in.
I love the old Antonio Conte position on this. What's that? Must win game. I'm making 5 changes. And I'm leaving out the best player. So
They do have the cup final to think about though.
Yeah, in a bit.
In a bit.
Yeah.
But it was brilliant. The way Huddersfield organised themselves defensively was just superb. And they deserve their lovely time, of course. But of course, Swansea are now down.
Yeah.
Carlos Carvial,
Before you go on to Swansea, really quick, if you don't mind, just I wanted to, because Huddersfield aren't a team that people talk about much, and I really wanted to say, Christopher Schindler's been fantastic at the back for them. Mm-hmm. They've also been a testament to how important January can be for a promoted team. They brought in Kongolo on loan. He's been fantastic. And they brought in Alex Pritchard as well in January, who's done well for them too. They were able to strengthen at a really key time because they came through the Christmas and New Year not in very good form at all. And it really galvanised them. And they've been able to essentially keep themselves up by the decisions that David Wagner's made. And he deserves an immense amount of credit. Mm-hmm. Carlos Carvajal doesn't. Next.
Yeah. And you can't stress enough, 2 huge points away to Man City and Chelsea. Massive.
Absolutely. I mean, that was one of the ones where you look at the fixture list at the start of the season and think, whoa, they could be in real, real trouble there.
Well, we were saying that, and others would have been as well, when you look at the fixtures and who's got who to play, and you thought, if Huddersfield, you know, they've got to get something, and they bloody well have, and they got themselves over the line.
And Huddersfield are 15-4 with Bet365 to beat Arsenal at the weekend and end their season in style.
Well, they have the luxury of being safe on the last day and the honour of hosting Arsene Wenger's last game in charge of Arsenal.
And Arsenal have picked up 0 points on the road in 2018 so far, so £10 on Huddersfield will return £47.50, should bid Vag and the Terriers end with a win.
Absolutely right. Swansea are down though, chaps.
They are, aren't they? And West Brom as well. It feels like one of those episodes of Game of Thrones where loads of people die, like really suddenly and unexpectedly.
Midweek.
Yeah. Swansea aren't actually down though, are they? So we're going to have egg on our face here.
Well, I mean, it's a 10-goal swing that's needed, isn't it? Because
It's the hope, though, isn't it? It's the hope.
But I mean, are Chelsea in the Champions League?
No, they're not.
I wonder if they can mathematically get
there. They can, yeah, they're two points behind. Yeah.
I wonder if Conte just doesn't want to face Chelsea with his next team. So he's like, you know what? I'll keep them just out of the Champions League.
Swansea were honestly so bad against Southampton.
It was utterly drab.
Well, former Swansea and Real Madrid manager, that could only mean one man, John Toshack, he blamed Jose Mourinho for Swansea's decline. Let me add a little bit more to this.
No, that's enough. That's fine.
Well, as he pointed out, he said the last seven or eight games since Mourinho made Carlos Carvajal the manager of the season, they've gone all those games without a win. And it was true. When Carvajal came in, Swansea's results got better. And he started to galvanise them a bit and so on. And suddenly Carvajal was in all of our lives. Of course, he'd been in some of our lives, managing in the Championship. But there he came, and all football fans across the country knew he was a bit wacky and a bit personality-driven, as I think Luke once said. And then Mourinho says that, and the results suggest that they've, I don't know about taking the foot off the gas, but it's not had the desired effect, really, has it?
No, well, Toshack said something along the lines of, it's not the punches to the head that soften the fighter, but the pats on the back. Oh. And I wonder if that's happened a bit, because it looked for a time like he had just come in, sorted it out, and Swansea would be fine with the games they had left. And then they seemed to sort of recapture their attacking verve a little bit under him, and then sort of step away from that, and that's cost them.
You said that they were really poor against Southampton. I thought first half, they looked quite slick at times, and I really feared for Southampton, but second half, it was a completely different story.
It was slick in a very ineffectual way, wasn't it? And also, in the second half,
they were doing a lot of slipping as well.
Yeah.
In the 6-yard box.
It looked like a Championship game, didn't it? Mm. It really, really did.
Well, credit to Southampton, Luke Moore.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think so, actually. Yeah. Absolutely right.
Enormous amount of credit. And you've had an enormous amount of criticism or certainly feedback on Twitter, haven't you?
It's not about me, is it? Let's just move on.
I think we should make it about you, actually.
No, I did get a lot of stick on Twitter.
On behalf of Southampton fans, up yours.
I really wanted Southampton to be relegated.
Yeah.
I made no bones about that. Uh-huh. They are now not going to be relegated. Mm-hmm. So well done to them. I've messaged my four or five Southampton supporting friends, said well done. I said, really? Well done for you personally. I'm really pleased for you because I know it's important to you.
They played their part.
Patronising. I hope the club. From League One.
I hope. He's hoping they get relegated next season. They're not going to be relegated this season. They've done enough. Well done to them.
Are you going to apologise to Southampton?
You don't have to when it's family. In a way,
South Coast family.
You don't have to, do you? We're all in the same family down the South Coast.
Fabulous. I mean, come on. Southampton, one of the teams down there that have shown a little bit of fight determination. They were very unlucky against Everton, of course. They went away and won against Swansea. And you rightly said, Luke, the reason why those teams are down there is because they don't win enough games.
Well, they've picked up 7 points in the last three games.
There you are.
That's key. And Swansea lost 4 in a row now, something like that. So momentum is really important that time of the season. They've had a poor season, Southampton. I don't think anyone would suggest that they deserve to be down there on the terms of the playing talent they've got. They've been very poor. But they've done enough to survive, and you know what? With them, if I'm being totally fair, providing they make the right that's the thing. They've got Mark Hughes in there. Providing they make the right decisions in the summer, with the sort of what would you call it, conveyor belt of talent they have coming through, and the experience of Hughes, who's shown he can do a good job here and there. I think it's a one-off at their down there. I don't see them being in danger next season as things currently stand.
Sure,
they did, and to be fair, in a lot of quite high-profile matches for Southampton, they haven't had the rub of the green from refereeing decisions. So next season might be a completely different situation.
Just going to say, so last other season, playing devil's advocate here, Swansea got Stoke at home, right? And Southampton go to City, don't they?
They play them at home.
Southampton are at home. So what if like Stoke and Southampton both get someone sent off? Is that 10-goal swing impossible? A couple of shellacking.
I don't think it's impossible. I think given that there will be a subconscious relaxing by Southampton because they're all but safe.
Yeah.
I think because Man City have already won the title, they're going for 100 points.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So
Man City want to win this game. I don't think anyone. I'm not saying
look at his little face.
I'm not saying
he's back into life.
The corner of his mouth. He's putting Joker makeup on.
Get ready,
Twitter. Looks like you can have another swing at him.
Limber up those fingers.
You poked the bear with a stick. Would anyone? All things being equal, we talked about a game in the middle of the season, a general game between Man City and Southampton, and I said to you on the day after the game, oh, you see the result last night? And you said, no. I said, Man City whopped Southampton 7-0. Based on what you've seen this season, you wouldn't think that was absolutely outrageous?
I wouldn't think it was outrageous, no. And it's still mathematically possible for Napoli to win the league.
It is, but that's a different story. But so the 10-goal swing thing, I mean, the problem is, Swansea are much more likely. There's no way Swansea are going to score like 4 or 5 goals in one game. They won't score. They haven't scored. I think they scored 2 in the last 8.
It would take Stoke absolutely collapsing, wouldn't it? That's why I mentioned a man getting sent off.
It needs a 10-0.
I mean, true. if Stoke had a man sent off and they just went,
just collapse.
And Swansea won, say, 4 or 5-0. Man City were having a lovely time. Went, I mean, yeah, it's not.
Can I flip it on you and say?
I don't think it'll
happen. Just ask a question. If in the position they're currently in. If Southampton were relegated this weekend, would it be the most remarkable relegation in history?
Possibly.
So there you go. It's probably not happening.
And if it happens, you'll have. I will give you 5 minutes uninterrupted.
No, you're all coming in. If it happens, you're all coming in Sunday night. seriously, well done to Southampton.
Agreed. Chelsea, of course, only managing a draw with Huddersfield meant that their hopes of finishing fourth are less likely. They need to beat Newcastle at the fortress that is St James's Park and hope Brighton beat Liverpool at Anfield. All Liverpool need is a draw. It was a bad result for Chelsea.
It really was.
Mm. But all Liverpool need is a draw if Chelsea don't win about 40-0.
Well, Brighton as well need to secure their status, don't they? So they're going to be fine.
Yeah, exactly. They're still not safe markers, are they, Brighton?
What, why are you saying that? you know that's factually incorrect, and I don't think you should mislead the listeners.
I'll
that.
Say what I want.
But Pep Guardiola has said Sean Dyche or Rafa Benitez would be worthy winners of the Manager of the Season award.
I love that. It's slightly damning with faint praise, isn't it? I've seen those teams, played those teams, because some of those players are dreadful.
Guardiola is doing it properly.
Yeah.
He's seen Benitez. His team has stayed up quite comfortably and whatnot. He's not giving out this award in his own head or suggesting things way before safety.
He's not relegated Swansea, for example.
No, Mourinho wants to give the manager's award, your season award, to Scott McTominay.
Yeah. Shows great promise in his football thinking.
I realise I'm the only person that finds this funny. But
no, I think it's hilarious.
No, did you not hear my laughter then?
Yeah, you do it all the time. You laugh at anything.
John Joe Shelby believes the best bit of business Newcastle can do over the summer to make sure Benitez stays, Peter. Mm.
You see, Benitez also said that he'd be a handy option for England. It's not going away, is it?
Yeah.
It won't go away. And there's reasons for that. John Joe said that Benitez transformed the club when he arrived. And he also said after his sending off against Spurs in their first league match of the season that he feared he'd be training with the youth players or punished in some sort of way. And instead, apparently, old Rafa put an arm around him straight the first thing in training the next morning.
Said, let's have a pint. And so, let's get pissed.
So, if you come in a room and John Joe Shelby's there, he's quite a startling looking man. I'd be friends with him more than be angry with him.
What do you want?
What do you want? Do you want my wallet? Here's my wallet.
That's not what he said. He said, just forget about it. Let's move on and keep pushing forwards towards where we know you can get to.
Ah.
That's, you know, man management.
Rafa also said this week that he's always been a fan of Moussa Sissoko.
Oh, dear. He's coming back.
He was there for Spurs.
He was there, stinking up the place, as
indeed,
always.
Yeah. Oh, they got the win.
they did get the win.
On that note of Benitez being a great manager, Pete, would you be interested to know that Newcastle are currently 500-1 with Bet365 to win next season's Premier League?
Ooh.
So £10 on that will return £5,010 should the Toon lift the big one in the name of Kevin Keegan.
What if we get the takeover and it's a lot more money than Staveley can give
Benitez
us?
Benitez has won a league before.
Yeah. Exactly.
A cash injection.
Leicester's odds were higher than that and they did it, so that's pretty much nailed on.
Mm. Yeah.
You should lump a lot on that.
I've only put... you know, Mitrovic to be top scorer in the World Cup.
You have, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Put me money where my mouth is.
Are we ready for correspondence?
I'm certainly ready.
It's time for correspondence with Peetles.
It is time for correspondence with Martin Wheeler, an Arsenal supporter / sympathiser, he says. Hi, guys. Whilst sitting in an incredibly boring sales conference this week, I came across an interesting statistic. You should have been paying attention, Martin. No team that's promoted last season to the 5 English leagues in the 2016-17 season was relegated in 2017-18.
Impressive.
Very
that's good,
interesting.
Isn't it? Yeah, isn't that an interesting
good.
Little...
I mean, I've got nowhere checking that, but I'll take his word for it.
Well, he's shown us working out. JC, hello JC, Jordan Corbin. I met Teddy Sheringham once. I can't remember exactly when this was, but all fingers point to the 2003-04 season when Teddy was at Portsmouth and I was around 8 years old. I was out shopping in Brighton with my dad. And when who should be in front of us in the queue? None other than Teddy. Now, it's worth pointing out that me and my dad are Chelsea fans. My dad was a season ticket holder for 15 years. Thus, he hated Spurs and Teddy. Being an 8-year-old, I had no idea Teddy had played for Spurs and simply recognised him as being a footballer in my Panini sticker book. The first footballer I'd actually seen in the flesh. It's very exciting. My dad had obviously not noticed him, but I did. I turned to my dad and said, "Look, Dad, it's Teddy Sheringham." Upon hearing this, Teddy turned around and quite arrogantly said, "Oh, suppose you want an autograph then." To which my dad replied with, "No, f*** off, you."
What?
Needless to say, I didn't get the autograph from Teddy. Keep the good work, he says. Thank you very much.
That is
for that
absolutely outrageous.
No, strong, I don't know.
Strong. Yeah. Sean Hayes, finally for now, has come up with... he's got a screenshot from Jordan Brooks's... is it Instagram? No, it's Facebook, I do believe. Basically, he's a midfielder with the Portsmouth Football Club and under 18. I think he's an under 18 international as well. Attention, all scouts and agents, says Jordan Brooks. Because Portsmouth lost to Charlton 1-0 on April 21st, the club has decided not to start a under 23 side, which was to be funded with game day revenue from the playoffs, and we've all been released. Oh. The exit trials are taking place at Walking FC on Thursday. Please come along and see me.
He's just trying to use us to get a move somewhere. That's the worst idea I could ever come up with.
I saw this online and I haven't actually had time to look into what it actually means and what if that's true or not, but I did actually see that, so it's, presumably that's happening.
Are we an agency now for players?
Mm. Well, the Southampton Academy will screw them up, I'm sure.
Probably will. Listen, not for the first time, Jim.
Indeed. Keegan came in and got rid of the... did he get rid of the B team in England or did he get rid of the under-21s at Newcastle? I always forget.
He got rid of the title challenge.
And the credibility.
No, I think you're right. I think he did something like that.
Speaking of Portsmouth losing players to Southampton, you know, obviously, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain sit for in there. His dad played for Portsmouth and all the rest of it. And so Portsmouth have now got Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's younger brother.
Just in case.
Yeah. And I've never seen him play. I think he might have played a couple of times, but I can't recall seeing him play. Mm. I have no idea if he's any good or not. But it's almost like they're saying, well, you're not going anywhere. You are staying. Yeah. You are staying here
for life. You're here for life. If you want to get to the show, showatthefootballramble.com.
Lovely old job. We're going to talk about Spurs and Manchester City after this.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I've never felt this bad ever.
I was hoping for Rooney. The boss says a new devil is arriving.
Talk down the Tim Sherwood one. Come on.
He's been linked with the Ipswich job this week.
And Rooney's off to MLS.
Apparently DC United, yeah.
Yeah, Big Sam doesn't want him to go.
What are Ipswich doing going after Sherwood? It's mad.
Having a bit of a laugh, aren't they?
Yeah, he used to play for Norwich, for God's sake.
Yeah. What do we think of Rooney going?
I think that'd be a silly move for DC United. I think that's ridiculous.
And really? I think, he'll probably have a nice time.
It's not about that, is it?
He'll probably have a nice time. He'll probably play quite well. Out of all of the places you could live in the US, is Washington?
He's going for the capital, baby.
Yeah, it's a funny fit, that, isn't it?
Yeah, is he going to have that much of a good time?
Really into politics.
Maybe he is. Big fan of the West Wing, Rooney. Yeah. Big fan of the West Wing.
I want to regularly have dinner with the president.
I feel like, based on Rooney's performances this season, he's got more to give to Everton. Maybe Everton fans would get in touch and disagree with that. But I think so. I feel like
at that price, though, he's probably on a ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah, it could well be that.
The wages will be high, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
Spurs did beat Newcastle to ensure they'll be back in the Champions League for another swing next season. Of course, they'll be playing at their new home. What do we expect from Spurs next season? It's an interesting one, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, there's been a couple of tiny little suggestions that Pochettino may move on. I personally don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I certainly don't think now. I think
you're not going to do that and put all the hard graft in, go through all the trauma of having to steward a team into the Champions League again in a stadium that's not your own. Mm. To not be there for the big inauguration.
Absolutely.
And also, Champions League football, that's a big draw for any footballer. Yeah. Pochettino knows that they get the best out of players. It would be a great place to move to. So, a very attractive proposition.
But do we see them
spend... Offer Sissoko, bring someone in.
Sissoko. But I think with Spurs, I'd love to see them have a proper title challenge next season. Well, actually, when I say that, it's really in light of Manchester City, isn't it, I suppose? Because they have been challenging for the title previous seasons, and then Manchester City come along with Pep and do what they do. But it would be great to see them up there battling. Obviously, Jim, I don't expect you to agree with that, and nor should you. But we see a few summer signings from them. I think
they need it, because I watched them yesterday and they looked a little bit flat. They looked a little bit disorganised, and they had a couple of injuries and a couple of players carrying injuries, as you always get about this time of the season. But I thought Newcastle weren't there.
They had to play Sissoko and Wanyama in the middle of the field because of Dyer's ill and Dembele's injured and Winks is injured. So, yeah, I mean, to get through that game with a win at this stage of the season,
was a good performance.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's done a good job. I think given the amount of variables, if you'd asked me at the start of the season, which you may well have done, I can't remember, I would have said that I would have picked Spurs to be the team to fall out of the top four, given this, all the different variables that are in as part of their season. They've managed to keep hold of pretty much every player, with the exception of Kyle Walker. I think a couple of players will move on in the summer, and I think they'll strengthen in response to that. And as ever, as we say time and again with Spurs, if Pochettino stays and he can keep the players happy, which he seems to be able to do, I don't see why they're not going to finish in the top four again. The atmosphere at that new stadium, something they've been waiting for such a long time next season, will be absolutely pumping. And don't forget, the season they left White Hart Lane, they were undefeated at home. So it's massive for them at home. And I think you could argue they might even improve on next season. But the thing is, Man City will improve and
West Ham improve?
The Premier League, the Premier League only seems to get stronger and stronger each year. So
yeah, I think the stadium actually has ended up costing Spurs more than they anticipated. So there is going to be a little bit more of balancing into the books required. I think they might have to sell to buy. But that does not mean they're not a really attractive proposition for players coming in. So I imagine even with that caveat, they probably will improve.
They don't pay the wages, which is a big problem, issue, I think. But they have got Champions League football and Pochettino, which I think is very much, and you know, one of the greatest strikers we've seen in some years.
I think a lot of the chat about Spurs' wages, to me, my take on it is that, as far as I understand it, and I might have mentioned this on the show before, and apologies if I have, they're incentivized, these players. So the type, and what that means is that they tend to then attract the type of player. It's a really clever move, I think, because although you miss out on players here and there because you don't pay ridiculous money, you're not going to pay 350 grand a week for Ozil or Sanchez or whatever. But what it means is you attract the type of player who has to stay motivated to want to earn money. So Harry Kane being reported, whenever it was, that he's only on 70 grand a week. Well, my understanding is he was taking home like double that because he was meeting all these standards. He was hitting all these bonuses and he was taking home 150 a week. So what it means is the reason someone like Christian Eriksen, who's they didn't pay much money for and who's a fantastic player and maybe isn't on the basic wage he could achieve somewhere else, he gets his money bumped up by bonuses, which means he stays motivated to play. I think it's a really clever model. Mm. It's a bit of a gamble because you can't always get every player on that, but what it does is it means you attract these players who are the right type of personality because they know they have to play well and work hard to get paid.
And you can see that motivation in the team and also from Pochettino. I mean, remember how annoyed he was when they went out of the FA Cup, just really, really frustrated that they hadn't been able to pass that hurdle again. And you want that, you know, you absolutely want that. Even if it's a little bit petulant, you want that from that team. And that's been their issue this season, that they've got very close again to winning something and you know, making a real splash and have fallen just short of it. So that's what they need to improve. And I think, again, the problem is that's going to be really, really difficult because, as you say, Man City will improve. I think Man United will be better. Chelsea season on, season off thing might happen again. So, it'd be really interesting to see what happens to Spurs in their new stadium. You think, you know, generally it takes teams a little while to settle into a new place as well, but they didn't really have that problem at Wembley. So we'll see.
No, and also, the challenges they've had to overcome as well as the stadium thing. I mean, they've had big injuries to Alderweireld, who everyone agrees is one of the best defenders around. Wanyama was injured for a while. Rose had a long-term injury. He's one of the standout fullbacks in the Premier League. Harry Winks is one of the great young hopes for the England team. He's been injured for ages. Harry Kane got really badly injured for a month at a key part of the season. Pochettino's a relatively young manager himself. I was reading earlier that I think he's only been a manager for 9 years. So, wow. I mean, in total. So, I mean, all these things, I mean, he's still obviously a very hungry manager to go on and achieve stuff. I think the future's really bright for Spurs, and I would be suspicious of anyone saying elsewise.
Yeah, Jim, you said earlier, obviously, that Spurs are moving stadium. There's an economic concern, I suppose.
They'll just have to get their business done early before the World Cup inflates all the prices of every footballer around.
Sure, but I mean, if they need...
Go after Italian players.
Yeah, go after Italian players, but if they need, you know, a bit of wisdom and a bit of guidance from someone who has moved in that part of the world to a new stadium and knows how to balance the books. Wenger is a consultant.
I knew this was going Wenger, but I couldn't work out how you were going
to
do it.
I didn't go manager, to be honest. Yeah, I was like,
No, Sven likes he likes the money. Let's
that was
be honest
a fork there. In the road for Marcus. It can go either way.
I am enjoying the Arsene Wenger to Everton rumours, which will no doubt be a load of nonsense. But of course, the last home game Spurs have this season is against Leicester City, who disrespected Arsene Wenger by beating Arsenal 3-1 the other night. Nice to see Kelechi Iheanacho scoring again, but a much-needed win a much-needed win for Puel to hush his critics at
absolutely,
least,
yes.
at least for a brief moment.
Yeah, they've been very, very vocal. And again, like sentimentality aside, this is why Wenger is going, isn't it? This sort of thing, that big self-destruct button that players can't help but trip over and haul down in some cases.
I find it odd, and I'm happy to be told otherwise by Leicester fans. I know the last day of the last game of the season is a tough one, but if everything goes in their favour, they all finish eighth, I think. Which, I mean, is that bad for Leicester? Well, is that a bad season?
I don't know. They're certainly going to finish eighth or ninth.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? Am I missing something here?
If Chelsea were interested, they don't like spend a lot of money at the moment.
Go on.
Wenger to Chelsea. Because he must be really annoyed with Arsenal right now.
Come with me, Peter.
Get him now. Like, get him now when he's really angry.
Yeah.
And it would be, I reckon
Giroud's
he'd do
already
it.
There.
I reckon he'd do it.
Fabregas is there.
Imagine that, Giroud thinking, I've just broken into the team.
How are we talking about this?
Wenger comes in.
Wenger to Chelsea. Yes. Come on. Stranger things have happened.
Stranger things.
I would love you to be his agent in this next period of his life.
I think he probably is.
Just going back to Leicester really quickly, because
that's who we're talking about.
Yeah, they've scored quite a lot of goals this season as well.
Yeah,
I don't really understand the ire.
Their form's not, prior to this win though, their form hasn't been brilliant, has it? And apparently the football is very flat. This is the same criticism that he had at Southampton. So that's when I was browsing the Puel out hashtag on Twitter, which is obviously a terrible way to gauge opinion of anything. It's just the angry people venting.
Uh-huh.
But that was the sort of the common theme. The football's been drab. And, you know, again, at their last home game of the season, most of the fans left before the before the team did their lap of honour and stuff. So clearly there is unrest there. I agree with you disagreeing with that. And I do think it is a very strangely knee-jerk reaction, but you know it's growing, it's getting louder. So there's got to be
as I said before, I'd like to see Puel there next season. I think give him a chance because I think he can. I know he's had a little while at Leicester, but I think next season you might see a slightly different side, more the way Puel likes to play. And if not, then no doubt they'll get rid of him.
Well, I think a lot of teams just get frustrated at seeing their team not play the West Ham way, regardless of who that team is.
I think we were talking about Chelsea earlier. Pete was being unhelpful, saying Arsene Wenger to Chelsea.
I thought you've been very helpful.
Yeah, I
enjoyed it.
Did you?
Yeah, right. Very much so.
Chelsea are 3-5 at Bet365 to win up at St James's on the final day, Pete.
Ah.
It's a £10 return, £16 including stake, and it'll possibly happen. Mind you, Chelsea won that.
Pete's going to that game, so have a bit of respect.
I managed to get tickets in the end.
Yep. Good man.
Spent a lot of money on them.
So the good people up there, have a look out for Petey. He looks
You're going to the home of football this weekend, Peter?
Going to the home of football.
He looks like a lot of people.
He does, yeah.
Mm.
So,
like, where's Wally in the crowd? Where's the Wally?
You can have a pint of Modiame afterwards.
In the strawberry.
He drinks all before his matches, as you well know.
Manchester City broke a few records in their 3-1 win over Brighton. They've scored 105 goals this season, breaking Chelsea's Premier League record of 103 in 2019.
Whenever I saw that written down, I couldn't help but think of the Alan Partridge line, I've got 104 friends.
We've scored 104 goals. They've equaled the all-time English top flight record for most wins in a single campaign.
Ooh, la.
31. And obviously they can break that, you know, winning their last game of the season, but that equals Tottenham's record in 1960-61.
Yeah.
Incredible. 97 points. They're going for 100.
Could get 100, but Southampton stand in their way.
They do. They certainly do. And also, the 97 points that Manchester City have got this season is only bettered in the English top flight by Liverpool's haul of 98 in 1978-1979, if you adjust the 2 points for a win to 3 points for a win. So that shows you how bloody impressive this has all been. And Pep Guardiola said after the match, "I'm not saying we're the best Premier League side, but we did the best season ever."
Well, it sort of is what you do. And also, the Liverpool thing, I think, in 78, 79, there were 22 teams in the top flight, weren't there?
Is that right?
So it's actually, you would wonder
Incredibly.
Whether that... Yeah, you'd wonder whether that actually counts anyway.
Yeah.
But then don't tweet in, Liverpool fans. I don't want to hear about it.
I don't want to talk to any of you.
No. Yeah, you're busy with the Southampton fans.
I've got loads on my plate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's a separate issue.
Manchester City.
A rare fat joke from Jim Campbell. Outrageous.
Oi, enough of that fat stuff. Let's talk about Yaya Toure, okay? Keeps himself in great shape. He's off.
He's out of there, isn't he?
Yeah, emotional scenes.
It was lovely, and it was nice that his brother popped Oliver.
True to his word, they forgot his birthday. Not going to play for the club anymore. He's just sort of taking his time.
I think this is quite an interesting...
he's been a magnificent sort
of
player.
Interesting element of modern football, because teams like Man City, and with the greatest respect to their history, of course, because they have done a decent amount in the past, but in the recent past, you'd say now is their golden age, right? They're making legendary players now, and we're actually watching it happen. I saw when Toure left, of course he was given a lot of credit, and rightly so, but they've actually named a training pitch after him at the training ground. He's got a mosaic of his name, and it's the Yaya Toure pitch and stuff. So
he'll end up as a coach there at some point, won't he?
Who knows? Yeah, if he wants to, I guess he might do. But Pep was saying that he reckons he could be a good asset for someone else in the Premier League, so which I sort of read as, we just want him gone, really.
Yeah, I wonder about that. I mean, he's not started a game at all, has he? And he looks leggy.
I mean, that is, but then sometimes sometimes they look quite sprightly and you're like, oh, what's going on there? Sometimes, because you usually look so leggy.
He's 34 now, Jim. 34.
I think I'm saying that he would probably do a job for someone in the Premier League. It's like the equivalent of, can you write me a nice letter?
Yeah.
Like, you're getting made redundant, but I'll write you a nice letter.
That's right, yeah. Well, we'll give you a good reference.
Yeah.
There's tiny little rumours online that suggest that Rangers or Celtic might be interested in him. I tell you what, though, if he wanted to go and play in Scotland, you know, it wouldn't be the worst idea.
Could they afford him, realistically?
Could Steven Gerrard tempt him? Now he's manager of Rangers, Jim.
I don't think so.
Okay.
One thing that Toure will always be remembered for is the season 13-14 when they won the league under Pellegrini.
20 plus
and
goals.
He got 20 from midfield.
Yeah, only him and Frank Lampard have done that.
That's a fantastic contribution.
Yeah, some howitzers in there.
Amazing
as well.
Contribution.
He's had a fantastic career. And when he left Barcelona, I think it was his wife who said, "Well, I'm not sure about this. You know, you're leaving one of the best sides in the world ever." Mm-hmm. And of course, he was a part of their treble winning, or however many trophies they won when they beat Manchester United 2-0 in the final in Rome in the Champions League. And he felt that when he was going to Manchester City, he thought, actually, you know, this is something that's going to take off and I could be one of the main men. And rightly so, what you just said there, look, about the training pitch named after him. He wouldn't have got that at Barcelona. He would have had a lovely time if he'd stayed there. But he's helped write some of the best chapters in the history of a football club in Manchester City. You know, so you can't argue too much. But there are a few little rumours, and I suppose it's a nice way to mention that Steven Gerrard is the Rangers manager.
Yes.
And some people didn't see this coming. A fair few people thought, well, when the rumours and the speculation appeared, it made sense for Gerrard. And I honestly think it's a good move for him, you know.
I think it's a brave move.
Up against Rodgers.
He deserves credit for it because...
Yeah.
If you were an aspiring manager, I mean, I'm not suggesting he didn't work hard or wasn't good at it, but he had a cushy job at Liverpool working with an academy team and stuff.
But that's probably why he left.
It would have been the easiest thing in the world for him to stay there. And so, do you know what? If I stick here, I might get an assistant's job, then I might get the Liverpool job. He's going to go out there and cut his teeth at a big club in a difficult situation because they're miles behind Celtic will be until they get investment, and that's just how it is. How many have Celtic won in a row? Seven now or something?
I think it's seven, yeah. I mean, and he needs to stop that.
It's a big challenge for him, and I respect him greatly for going and taking the job. I'm fascinated to see how it turns out because...
We have no idea what he's like as a manager.
Exactly, and because he can do that job that he was doing before at Liverpool with young players. I mean, of course, half the battle's won with young players when you're Steven Gerrard, for God's sake, at Liverpool. I mean, he's a legend there. So him going out of his comfort zone, a fish out of water to a club he's not got any links with at all, and trying to get it done in, let's face it, quite an unfashionable league, in a really difficult situation. He's not inheriting a great Walter Smith Rangers side here. He's inheriting a very, very long way behind the Celtic team. So it's tough for him, but I respect him immensely.
Did you see that amazing picture of him in the trophy room where he's looking around going, oh God.
I think, you know, Gerrard is one of those players that's played at the top level for all of his career, so it makes sense for him to go to a big club, which Rangers undoubtedly are. We've said so many times, you know, Zidane and Giggs, players like that, they shouldn't necessarily start in the third division somewhere, and this is a perfect fit for Gerrard.
I agree with
that
you,
in mind, I think.
And also, I think it's a nice move for Rangers because the situation they're in, if they've got serious ambitions to win the league, and I think that's fanciful personally at this point, but if they have, they're going to have to gamble. They're not going to tempt... I mean, you know this better than me, Mark's growing up. They're not going to tempt a massive manager to Rangers in the current situation they're in. So they need to take a bit of a gamble with someone who might turn out to be a bit like a Rodgers, a good young up-and-coming manager, like, I don't know, like a Luis Enrique or whatever at Barca, and see how they get on. If it doesn't work for them, it's nothing really lost because they're not going to get relegated. So it works out well for everyone, I think.
Yeah, but there is pressure on him. because if he doesn't do it, it doesn't matter if he's Steven Gerrard, the fans are going to have a go if they're still getting whipped by Celtic.
So, but what do you think next season, realistically?
The thing is, it's so hard to try and decipher all
this. A decent second place, would that be decent enough?
Probably not.
No, okay.
I think because then Celtic will have won their eighth in a row. Mm. And both sides have nine.
You're writing off the Dandy Dons there, mate.
Maybe I am. Yeah. But Celtic and Rangers both have nine in a row. Celtic are thinking, if we can get that 10th in a row. I mean, 10 in a row, you wouldn't have thought that would happen. I mean, Rangers would argue.
La decima.
But Rangers fans would say, well, of course, we weren't in the league for some of those ones, and I don't think Celtic fans will give two hoots, you know.
The deep fried decima.
The deep fried. There you go. The McDecima.
Yeah.
I think we could have all agree.
So,
Most Rangers fans would be like, oh, we're a different club now. Yeah. A completely different club.
Yeah, well,
ties to the past.
They pick and choose when they want the past to be there or not, because all those trophies that you spoke of in the cabinet,
you'd think that they'd be in the skip, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
you come
in. In the skip?
Put them in the skip, because as far as I'm concerned,
You've got a skip for a heart.
Yeah. I want them through financial irregularities.
Let them go, because that's taking the Twitter heat off me.
True. Right. Let's get up to Rangers at some point.
And travelling back down past Hadrian's Wall, Marcus, into England again. Southampton are 11-2 to beat the aforementioned Man City with Bet365 this weekend.
Makes sense.
So £10, that returns £65, including stake. Steven Gerrard. Not affected by that result.
Not affected. Look, what is our best bet? We bet $365 this week.
Nicole McCann is still in the hot seat, as we heard earlier in the week.
Go on, Nicole.
And she's come back in with another best bet with a chance to go for two in a row. She says, hello, Ramblers. Happy to be back in the hot seat after an extremely stressful week. I had my final uni exam on Friday morning, so my brother felt the need to get up early and inform me I have been chosen as the best bet of the week, making sure I was fully aware of the pressure I was under, especially having called out the Roddens. So I basically spent the most important 3 hours of my life debating if my choice had been the right one or not. I think I can speak for everyone in this room when we say we've all failed most of our exams, so we know how you feel. Anyway, all ended well, and for this week I'm taking Sean Dyche's men to beat Bournemouth at 11-10, hopefully making another £105 for charity. Have a good weekend, Nicole. Nicole's right, Burnley to beat Bournemouth is indeed 11-10, and if Earthworm Sean and his little worms give their fans a send-off to remember, that's £105 for Prostate Cancer UK and two in a row for Nicole. All proceeds to Prostate Cancer UK, of course, and you must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, it's begambleaware.org.
We'll win £105.
Yes, another £105. I think it's the same odds as last time,
from
memory.
Now then, what has Luke been asking the listeners this week as a question we all want to ask Luke?
That was skillfully done. Dennis the Iceman Bergkamp.
Wow.
Is celebrating his 49th birthday today.
My goodness.
49. I actually asked, do you know what I asked Ray Parler yesterday? I asked Ray Parler if any of the players got pissed off that Dennis Bergkamp wouldn't fly to away games. And Ray went, nah, Dennis could just do what he wanted. Anyway,
you all could do what you wanted.
Yeah, exactly. He shares his nickname, of course, with a Top Gun character. Iceman.
Yes.
Yeah. You get it?
Oh, yeah.
But which footballers would you like to see cast in a remake of the 80s classic, and why?
Oh.
Nice. That's my question. Joe Hill says, Fernando Torres in the Kelly McGillis role would take my breath away. You have to have seen the film to get that. And he says, failing that, Highway to the Nile Ranger Zone.
Oh, my goodness.
Gotta be happy. Come on, Spelzy.
I think, yeah. Well, Steven Gerrard's gone to the Rangers zone, hasn't he?
He has. Exactly. James Whitten, Harry Kane cast as Maverick, claiming he shot down every plane. And I'll leave you with this one from Liam Doherty, because we've got Going for Gold, haven't we?
We have.
Yeah, so Liam Doherty suggests Gareth Southgate is Maverick, Kane is Goose, Vardy is Iceman, and Jonjo is Meg Ryan.
Nice.
Hashtag playing with the boys.
I was wondering who was going to play Goose. I was kind of working that out.
Goose, who sad. It's not a spoiler because the film was made in about 1985.
Don't say it.
Goose, who is a great character in the film.
Yeah, exactly.
Does he die? I could never remember any films.
You'll have to watch it to find out.
Does he die?
How does he die?
Does he get ejected out of a helicopter?
Yeah.
No, he's not that bad.
Not that bad.
And a piano falls on him.
But he survives that. It's like, when he stands on a rake and it hits him in the head as the final.
And everyone's like, Tom Cruise, you're supposed to fly planes, not pianos.
Tommy
what are you doing
Cruise.
Flying a piano? It's
Tommy
always going to go wrong.
And now it's time for Going for Gold.
Yes. When they're going for
Gold. No, Barry Grintles.
I said Going for Gold.
He does the buttons now, mate.
I don't know where that one is, to be honest.
You don't know where any of them are.
Don't just press it.
Labeled.
Barry Grintles.
Thank you. There we go. So you named it, and you named it Grintles. So it's not difficult to find.
I didn't name it Grintles. Marcus brought up the Grintles.
No, true. You did. You named the Jingy, I mean.
The Jingy. On the Jingy. On the Jingy Hall. In the Jingy Cave.
The Jingy Shelby.
The boss says a new devil is arriving.
72 people are watching this on Instagram. Is this Instagram? Sam, is this Instagram?
Shout out to
I on the internet? Am I a cam girl?
Oh, mate, you are all over the internet.
Shout out to my brother Glyn in Vietnam who's watching.
Oh, right, come
Glyn.
On, let's do the show. For goodness sake.
Look, do you want to be video or do you want to be audio? It's up to you. Owen Myers. Hello, Owen Myers. Is the blummin' clues, guys. I was born on the 30th of January, 1981.
Okay. Okay. Stop. Owen Hargreaves.
Incorrect.
Oh, I thought you might have had that. Stop, Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Incorrect.
Stop, I will have a go with, I can't think of a single football player of that age. Carry on.
I came on as a substitute in the 2002 Champions League final at 21.
Ooh, who would that have been?
Tender.
Real Madrid, Leverkusen? Was it that one?
Yeah, it must be around then.
Was that 03? Was 03 Manchester? Juve.
Guti.
Incorrect.
There's no way Guti's 37 now, is he? 36.
Yeah, you're probably
right. Stop. Claudio Pizarro. No, it's Bayern. Oh, Claudio Pizarro.
Incorrect.
I thought it was Bayern. He's Bayern. He
Carry on. No, I'm not going.
Incorrect, mother. I have never played at a World Cup.
Stop. George Best.
Stop. George Weah.
Incorrect.
Stop, Marcus Speller. He's about the age. He's never played in the World Cup.
I wasn't involved in the Champions League.
In my debut season in England, I would be named in the PFA Team of the Year.
Ooh. A fine introduction to the Prem.
He's played in the Premier League as well, has he?
Stop. Cloud Makélélé.
Incorrect.
He's played at a World Cup.
Of course he has.
Stop. What about, let's have a bit of Michael Essien.
Incorrect.
Stop. Lastiara.
Incorrect. I won 3 Premier League titles during my time in England. I was very happy about this fact, and after everyone, apparently, according to a quote, I was so happy that I went home and made love to my girl.
Ooh, he must play for Man United then.
Why?
Because they all make love to their girls.
Because he moved to the Premier League after 2002.
I just thought you sounded particularly shaggy.
Could have been Chelsea.
Yeah.
Could it not?
Could have been.
Yeah. Yeah. Go on, carry on.
I also won the Golden Boot in the 2010-11 season.
Oh. Stop. Dimitar Berbatov?
Dimitar Berbatov, yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. Oh,
nice one, Leverkusen.
It would have been Leverkusen. Good stuff. Yeah. Well
done. Yeah. Oh, that all makes so
I
much
recently
sense
posted
now.
A message about worst wannabe coach ever, worst tactical advice, chip the ball to the strikers.
Yeah, that was David James he was talking
Cheston,
about.
Cheston, we take it from there. Hashtag season finished. And the teams I played for was Bayer Leverkusen, Spurs, Man United, Fulham, Monaco, PAOK, and Carroll Blasters.
Told you, played for Man United.
Thank you very much, Owen.
What I know, the big O there.
The big get the points, O. You didn't get the points, did you, Marcus?
Pretty woman.
I did get the points.
I'm saying, Mark. I'm saying.
Talking to me, Marcus. I'm he's having
Luke.
A dig.
Saying Luke didn't.
No, he didn't. No. Seldom does he.
No.
He's an assistant.
Am I safe? I don't know. Am I safe from relegations?
Europa League, mate.
If I get your relegations, that means I don't have to do this anymore.
No, you have to do the questions next year.
Oh. Yay.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks a billion trillion for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. Indeed it is, Luke. Indeed it is. But that's how much we are grateful to our fine listeners. They'll be back on Monday with us.
Yeah, they
for
will.
The Football Ramble, of course.
And they'll be bloody welcome.
They would indeed. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Bye.
Bye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.